Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Chiefs Live after Monday Night Football on the road. And this is me coming out of the broadcast booth last night.
Hang in there.
Wow. Wow.
Rough one.
Really? I mean, every Twitter abbreviation you want here, SMH, yeah, this, it was right there. Probably seven situations that we can look at.
Right.
A chance to beat the Steelers there.
Well, you're right. You talk about it every week, though. Four or five plays a game are always the difference makers normally in an NFL game, and you talked about it so many different times. I mean, a couple times we get into the end zone, but it's called back for whatever reason. Of course, you have the penalties there. You go back, you get the ball, you get a turnover finally, you force a turnover, get the ball in the 10-yard line, you only convert to a field goal instead of a touchdown. Now, being up 10-0, that's a good thing, but it could have been 14-0. That really puts them on the defensive. And me being on the sideline as I was watching things, the energy I saw from the Chiefs on the sideline was something just to really enjoy and behold, because it hadn't been that way, obviously, during the season. And they had this, like I say, energy about them that I hadn't seen for a while. It was Monday Night Football. Everybody was getting to see the Chiefs and what they are capable of.
494 minutes without a lead. That changes. Chiefs go 70 yards in four plays. I want to ask you this before we get to the highlights. Well, let's go to the highlights. What about this drive? Your thoughts? Nice play here to Moyoki. Set up as a complimentary play.
Well, you're exactly right. And the fact that they ran off tackle the first play and Jamal Charles picked up seven. Now you go down there. But the big thing with that is the fact that you had second and short, and now the defense is on their heels, and now you run this play right here. You get it to Dexter McCluster. He makes a nice move, but you get to the 12, 13-yard line, and then you give it to Charles again, and he gets through the line and gets to the end zone, their first lead. It was a thing of beauty, 70 yards in less than 2 minutes.
And the Chiefs, the big thing to me, they were physical early in this game. If you watch the touch, they were physical on both sides of the ball. But this is well blocked. Allen gets his block, Lilja gets his block, Winston gets his block, and this is a very good run defense, the best in the league statistically at times for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, you're right. They were only giving up 80 yards a game on the ground, so you're exactly right. And it was interesting because you could see the game plan was we're going to come in and we're going to run this ball, and it seems like they told the backs, okay, you got one cut, and you make that cut, and you go vertical and stay away from negative plays. And for the most part, they did a good job of that.
Ball comes out. The Chiefs not only get a one-possession lead, they get a shot at a two-possession lead, but only a field goal here. But Alan Bailey had one of his better games. This is a huge play right here.
Well, you're right. And the fact that DJ continues to play at a Pro Bowl level is something that's good to see. It was nice to see it on national TV because this is a guy that should be in a Pro Bowl. But as we see right now, this is where, I don't know where the unwinding started, but we had two times where special teams just let us down. You kick the ball out of bounds, and then you fumble this ball here. You start at the 8, you never do anything, and it ends up that Pittsburgh gets back into the game with a field goal and then the touchdown. You see right there to Wallace making a circus catch, rather.
And a chance just so close to try to convert and keep things going here at the end of the half and getting a two-minute drill points comes up dry. But then the Chiefs knock Roethlisberger out of the game. This could change Pittsburgh's season. So your thought on the physical nature of the Chiefs' defense in this game?
Well, they did some good things. And coming into the game, Ben, he was throwing for an 83 QB rating under pressure. So you couldn't just hit him. You had to get him down to the ground. And they didn't do a lot of it, but they were physical there, and they made some good plays. And you're right, it's going to change the Steelers' season because they're saying he's going to be out for a while with an injury. But again, too many mistakes right here. You get a holding call. Got away, quite honestly, possibly with a taunting call, and it's just frustrating. We talked about the plays that make a difference, and we're seeing some of them right now.
So Byron Leftwich has to come in for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and obviously not the same as Big Ben. And Kansas City now down at 13-10, but here comes a chance at the end of regulation. This looked like the Matt Cassel of 2009 when he led the Chiefs to an overtime win over the Steelers by taking them down the field.
Well, you're exactly right. And I mean, it was the time when you knew they had to pass to get it down the field, and you had the number one team in defense, rather, in Pittsburgh against the pass in the NFL, yet they do some good things right here, hitting it across the middle. To go down and tie it up at the end of the game like that, that's the encouraging things. That's the things that we saw coming out of camp, Mitch, that we knew we were capable, the Chiefs were capable of, but again, not enough. But good things here, making a clutch kick after having missed one earlier.
So going to overtime, tied at 13. Suck up, nails the 46-yarder. Chiefs win the toss in overtime. Some think maybe should have gone on defense. And then this play. Your thoughts on the pick that essentially ends the game?
Well, I talked about it before the game. The Chiefs couldn't play even football. It couldn't go one for one or two for two turnovers. I felt like they couldn't turn the ball over at all, and this proved true with this turnover leading to kicking the final field goal. The ball tipped as it comes out of Matt Cassel's hands, it looks like. But again, that defense of Pittsburgh making a play, and the rest is history, quite honestly.
Well, here are the stats. This is the surprising stat sheet. Nobody thought this would happen. Outrushing Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh, better total yards, even in turnovers. It just shows you, if the Chiefs can stay even, to your point, there is a chance. And for Matt Cassel, unfortunately, 2009 turned into 2012 in a disappointing loss here. However, to me, the encouraging sign, this is a little bit like the Baltimore game.
Right.
Because the Chiefs ran the ball against a team that's good against the run. They were physical on both sides of the ball because defensively they knocked Roethlisberger out. If you can carry that over to Cincinnati, what kind of opportunities does that give you to win on Military Appreciation Day?
Well, you're exactly right in terms of you've got Cincinnati coming in, and it's something you can build on. And you've got to find little things to build on right now, Mitch. And the run game, what they did against a defense like Pittsburgh, that's something that you cannot take lightly. Not many teams have done that. Coming into the game, the Steelers had rushed for 100 yards, and this would have been the fourth straight game. The Chiefs defense holds them. I mean, there's some big things. You can go on and on and on. You've got to build on that. They've got, the Chiefs talked about having a great week of practice this last week, leading up to it, feeling good about things, playing on Monday Night Football. You hope and you would expect that they would carry that forward this week with Cincy coming in here.
What about reaction in the locker room after a close but tough loss in Pittsburgh?
I mean, we fought to the end, gave ourselves a chance to win in overtime. Unfortunately, we didn't finish, but I mean, we took a big step forward, but still, we gave ourselves a chance to win. We fought to them. I mean, I think overall we ran the ball well. Line held up. You know, we were in the condition that I think pretty much everybody was pretty much catching the ball well and doing their best to. But it's unfortunate that it had to end on a turnover.
I mean, after every loss, you're going to feel a little bit of disappointment. But, I think the guys came out and played hard tonight. I think we played a competitive game against a team at their house on Monday Night Football. I think that, we did well, but not well enough to win. And, I think that we ran the ball effectively well. And I think that we showed signs of making plays in crucial times, especially, the end of the fourth quarter there. And, overall, I'm proud of the guys. We just have to pick it up and try to win the ball game.
What is your word to your team? How do you keep the guys up at this point in the season?
Well, at this point, it's just each other. Nobody else believes in us but us. And, stick to your family, stick to your friends, and the guys on the team is pretty much you can depend on right now.
Let me ask you about the new defensive coordinator, Gibbs. How did he do?
I felt like he called a great game. He put us in positions to make plays, and that's all you can ask from a coach. And I felt like he had us prepared. And, we were ready to go.
Do you think this game is going to help your football team?
Oh, most definitely. I feel like I said, we raised the standard for what's acceptable. We know what we can do. So we have to bring it just like that every week, week in and week out. So we just got to keep going.
I think we had a great opportunity. That just shows we're not as bad as we supposed to be. It's a lot of mistakes we got to eliminate. And we got to put this game behind us now and move forward.
It was a learning thing. A year ago for you? Have you learned a lot more this year?
I have, and I'm able to play a whole lot faster than I did last year, but I'm still learning and hopefully still getting better.
So again, something to build on as a short week of preparation going into a game against a confident Cincinnati team that we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show. But now let's go to the head coach. What about Romeo Crennel? Disappointed after having all kinds of chances to win this game, but trying to take a positive slant on the loss.
We're playing a good football team. At their place, and the guys play their hearts out. We made a couple mistakes that helped them a little bit. But if our guys keep playing that away, we can definitely get the ship turned. That's what it takes on a weekly basis. And if we'll do that, we'll get it turned because we'll clean up some of the things that we screwed up. And then some things will begin to go our way a little bit. Our guys play with energy most of the time, you know, but we were competitive and we weren't doing things that caused us to go downhill, you know. So it looks better.
It was definitely the Monday night and the atmosphere and the environment and knowing that we're playing on a national stage. I thought our guys played and competed all night long. We went up against a good football team, and unfortunately we weren't able to pull it out at the end. But I thought the way these guys handled the environment and being on Monday Night Football was great. We played well in all phases. We took care of the football for the most part, and obviously until overtime. But we just played football in which we complemented each other, and that was the first time that we really put it all together this year, I think. No, I was throwing the curl, and unfortunately one of those defensive linemen got deflected a little bit, and it came off and went, obviously, not in the direction that we wanted to go. I just think that we didn't do a great job of converting on third down. We had opportunities, and that's always the name of the game in the NFL. If you can continue to make first downs on third down, then you're going to continue the drive, and we weren't able to do that today.
Just one turnover in the game, but it ends up being the powder keg that decides the game in overtime. But I want to ask you about one player in this game, and I was glad. Well, he plays this way every week, but now the national stage got to see it. Derrick Johnson, 12 unassisted tackles against a physical Steelers team.
Well, you're right. He has two tackles for a loss. He has one forced fumble. And right now, Mitch, that's defensive player of the week stats right there. That's some good stuff. He continues to just shoot gaps, make plays, and that's what he is. He's a playmaker. He's been the one consistent force on the defense this whole year. Not that the other guys haven't done some good things, but week in, week out, he's played at a level that you have to have your middle backer playing at, and he's doing a great job. As you see there, 78 tackles, 67 solo. That's crazy. You have a sack and a forced fumble. Those are the type of stats you need from your middle backer.
And again, DJ is closing in on being the all-time tackle leader in Kansas City Chiefs history. Gary Spaney still works for the team. His 999 has stood there for a long, long time. But that is in jeopardy. If Derek stays healthy, that could go away next year. But the young guys see a Derrick Johnson, who is the elder statesman of this team. In fact, he's the number one pick in 2005. But to see that the way he approaches every week consistently, you played in this league for 15 years. When you see your guy that's been around the longest as a number one draft pick play that way consistently, practice that way, prepare that way, what does that do to the young players?
Well, it is. He talks about it, leading by his example. I mean, he was a teammate of mine for 2 years, so I've watched him grow and mature to where he is right now. And it is. Is he the most vocal guy? No, he's not, but he is vocal. But the fact is, when you see somebody like that, no matter what's going on, he's flying sideline to sideline, and he is. He's moving sideline to sideline as good as any backer in this league, and that's huge from your middle side of things. So that sets the example for the team. That's the bell cow. That's who you want to emulate. Whether you're a defensive back or a D lineman, it's the energy that you bring to the defense, and you've got to emulate that energy that DJ is bringing to the Kansas City Chiefs defense.
Again, he does it a variety of ways. Here he chases down the play. The ball comes out, and Kansas City, Alan Bailey, I thought, had his best game. Doing some good things there. But I want to ask you about the secondary now. Let's transition here a little bit because we're going to get to Cincinnati after the break. Mike Wallace had been torching people. Antonio
right.
Brown was out. Emmanuel Sanders, very, very capable. Jericho Cotchery. It's a good Pittsburgh receiving core on the back end. Stanford Routen out there obviously waived. Your thoughts on what the back end did, and it looked like, and I talked with Romeo about it today, a different approach scheme-wise. And what about the execution of that scheme? Safeties and corners, nickels and dimes.
Well, you know, first off, I thought Javier Arenas had a great first start in terms over there. And it's interesting, too, because some of the things they did in terms of now on nickel situations, he's moving over to the slot receiver, and you've got Jaleel Brown then moving out to the other corner position. Did a nice job. You had Kendrick Lewis playing deep quite a bit, covering things over top. I just thought they were very, very aggressive. I thought they did a great job of, even when the balls were coming to the receivers on time, of getting in there and raking the ball and getting it out. You had two or three instances where the ball was good as caught by the Pittsburgh Steelers receivers, and they rake it out and they make plays. That's huge. I thought Eric Berry had one of his better games of this year.
How much is he getting his confidence back? Did the pick in San Diego help? Is this new kind of approach where he's at in the scheme helping?
Well, I think it's huge. I think it all is. I think he's a safety, Mitch, and not to diss the fact that when he's up there doing some things, because he is a physical player being up in the linebacker position. But the fact is, back there, he can make some plays. Maybe the one position that hurt us a little bit was the tight end position, but they figured that out and did some good things. But again, he was a missile coming up, making some plays, both on the run and then in the pass game as well, over the top.
Brandon Flowers, most of the night against Mike Wallace. I mentioned it on the radio, nostril to nostril with him. He won most of those battles. What about Brandon Flowers against Wallace last night?
Well, we've seen, and I forget which one it is, he's made some interceptions this year that you just can't script. Going, people running deep on him, and he's running stride for stride. They stop. He gives them 9 cents change. I mean, this guy is quick, and he's playing at a – I don't know – you borderline have to say a Pro Bowl level, but unfortunately people just look at the interceptions. If you don't have that, then they're not going to give it to you always. But he's been that one constant thing that can go out, and he can shut people down. He's doing a good job. He's physical. He doesn't miss tackles, and he can run with anybody basically in this league stride for stride.
Had the lead for 20 of the 30 first half minutes, had a shot to win in overtime, and yet trying to
– there you go.
I thought you were going to bring me back for a while. I thought it was that. I'm like, come on.
Well, I was about to go with you for a second.
All right. We come back. It transitions to this week's military appreciation game as the Cincinnati Bengals come calling. We'll check in with another team from the AFC North when we return.
I pull up to the game, and all I smell is barbecue. I see everybody with their jerseys on, just out tailgating. Everybody's yelling, honking their horns in their cars, offering me barbecue on the way before the game. I mean, everybody's just friendly. I mean, it's just a wonderful city to play football in, man. Our fans are good in the stadium and out of the stadium. They just treat everybody with respect, and you gotta love that. This city is built like a family. This is a great place to be, and I love it.
Women, 40 years and older.
84.3%.
More women. Women, 40 years and older, are getting mammograms, which can save their lives.
84.3%. That is the average survival rate for Kansas and Missouri.
More women are battling this disease, and the survival rate is rising.
Help continue the trend. Join the Kansas City Chiefs, Hy-Vee, and the University of Kansas Cancer Center and schedule a screening today. It can save your life.
Stadium with the 65 TPT crew to show the world what tailgating is about. Let me know through Twitter or Facebook why our cameras should come to your tailgate.
If you're chosen, your tailgate will be featured on KCChiefs.com so the world can party with you. But remember, you have to make room for one more on the menu.
Chiefs tailgating, baby!
We have the greatest fans in the NFL. When things are going bad, you know they're still going to be on your side. You know they're always there 100%. We have the stadium filled every week, a sea of red. So it's a great thing that fans is that supportive of you, and you know that your stadium is going to be rocking week in and week out.
It's my man, Arrowman. Saw him on there with the Roethlisberger arrows come out of him. He'll be there at the Chiefs Kingdom tonight. In fact, if you're in the area, you can come join us at Jazz Louisiana Kitchen near the Speedway. Terrence Copper will be our guest. All right, let's transition now to the Cincinnati Bengals, a team that I find very interesting. They just clock the New York Giants over the weekend. Overall, your thoughts on Cincinnati coming to town?
Well, they've got to have some big confidence, and they got out. They were in on a 3-game losing streak. They go after New York like they did. You see Dalton there throwing to AJ Green. I mean, this game, it was 14-0 before 5 minutes had expired in the first quarter. So they jumped on New York quickly. The other thing that they did very, very well, which can't happen this week to be successful against them, is the fact that Cincinnati forced 2 interceptions and 2 fumbles against the Giants. Now, that's a good football team, so you've got to be wary. But they've got big play. They've got big playmakers, as you see right now, Adam Jones on a punt return. But when it comes down to it, they're not the Steelers, and you played the Steelers very, very well. So you've got to build on what the Chiefs did last week and take it to this game.
Let's deal with the explosiveness, first of all, with Cincinnati. Now, to me, in watching and studying Cincinnati, to me they look the most explosive team the Chiefs have played maybe since the Atlanta Falcons. When I see their wide receiver package, you mentioned A.J. Green, I get the Julio Jones feeling.
Right.
But even their other receivers, and then the tight end, Jermaine Gresham, I've loved him ever since his freshman year at the University of Oklahoma. But A.J. Green in specific, what do you do to neutralize his explosiveness?
You know what, I think you have to press him off the line. You can't let him run unattached and give him space, because if you do, you're going to have issues. This is a guy that is great, from what I saw film-wise, catching the ball away from his body, getting it on the run. Dalton does a good job of delivering the ball, so you've got to make sure he's not afraid to catch the ball over the middle as well. So if he does go over the middle, you've got to make him pay for it. You talked about the tight end position also. That's something that's haunted the Chiefs a little bit this year as well, so you've got to watch out for that. But Green's the man you've got to stop. Now, again, you've got Sanu, who's done some good things for him as well. But when it comes down to it, A.J. Green, as goes A.J. Green, receiving-wise, goes the Bengals.
Yeah, the yards per catch jumps off the page. You saw he's third in the league. Of the top 10 receivers in the league, Kendall, A.J. Green is bested only in yards per catch. Let's see, Demaryius Thomas has a better one, and Megatron, Calvin Johnson. Otherwise, this guy, well, this is Gresham, but you have to deal with big-time yards per catch.
Well, you're right, and he has 9 TDs. He has a long of 73, so he's got the big play capabilities. And that's the thing that you have to stop. You cannot give up chunks defensively against this team and let them have quick scores. Keep on the field and give them a chance to make mistakes.
Andy Dalton, let's talk about him now, the redhead from Texas. Great career at TCU, and when they took him in the 2011 draft, this has not been the year he envisioned. He's got the 5th most picks in the league with 11. However, I like this guy. He still has a decent 18-11 touchdown to INT ratio. There's your big plays. 840-plus plays. That's 2nd most in the league. Overall, your thoughts on Andy Dalton?
He gets back. He gets rid of the ball quickly. You see a lot of 3- and 5-step drops, and lots of time you'll see him throw that bolt screen out there and do some quick hit passing to where they don't have to protect as well, because quite honestly, I don't think their offensive line does protect that well, so they make up for it by getting rid of the ball. But, you know, he's grown. He's not having the year he would like in terms of the interception side of things, but as you mentioned, when you have 18 TDs, well, then you're probably doing something right as well. And again, 64% on the year percentage-wise completions, that's pretty good.
Let's throw his page back up there again. He was smoking hot against the New York Giants. So Andy will come in here with some confidence. There's AJ's numbers. We're going to put Andy Dalton's numbers up there. Look at this. 21 out of 30, 4 touchdowns, no picks. That's 127.6 on the rating. He was a high school phenom, another high school phenom coming out at quarterback, coming out of the state of Texas. Gary Patterson did a great job with him at TCU. He keeps getting better and better. I really like this guy. I get a Drew Brees feeling when I watch him play.
Yeah, and it's one thing to throw 4 touchdowns. It's quite another to throw 4 touchdowns against the New York Giants in that defense and with the pass rushers that they have and the pressure that you're dealing with all day long. So, again, it's something you have to get to him. And you like this, you get a double move there. You can't let him fool you. You've got to get to him, put pressure on him. Don't give him time to deliver the ball.
Pressure on Kansas City's secondary all day, but we saw the secondary now with a new scheme playing with some more confidence. And there's a pinpoint throw. They got some other guys that they can utilize here. Let's talk about the Bengals' defense and what the Chiefs can do. The most encouraging sign to me in the Steelers game was the fact that Kansas City was able to run the ball against a good run defense. Steelers knew they were going to run it.
Right.
And Kansas City could still run it. What about this week?
Well, you're exactly right. They still ran it. And they knew that the Steelers knew they were going to run it, and they didn't care. They came out with an attitude. It's something I've not seen really since the New Orleans game, in my opinion. They did a great job. And I like the fact how the running backs are putting their foot on the ground, making one cut, and they're going, and they're saying, you know what, 4, 7, 8 yards, that's pretty good. Because when you get second and short, then you open up all kinds of play calls for Brian Daboll and that offensive line.
Again, showed here great blocks on this play by Jamal Charles, the 12-yard touchdown run, the right side in particular. But the offensive line, I thought, played with some confidence. Now, how did they carry over this week to block a physical defensive front of Cincinnati?
You know what? I go with its attitude. This team, Cincinnati, no better than what the Steelers were in terms of stopping the run. You've got to know that if you did it last week, you can do it this week as well. It sounds simple, but it's true. You don't care about what they do. You figure out that what you're going to do and make them stop it.
Here we go. Here's the numbers. The Bengals on defense struggling on third down defense. You see them near the bottom of the league. Defensively, the numbers aren't great, although they played better against New York. Mm-hmm. Now, they played with the lead a lot because of the explosiveness of the offense. But I see different guys on this defense that are very capable. Terrence Newman's on this team. Now,
right.
The Salina, Kansas native, the K-State guy, it's one of their corners. But I still think there's a chance for the Chiefs to be fruitful against the Cincinnati defense. Again, on third down, the Bengals have struggled defensively.
Yeah, and right now, I'm not sure you know what you're going to get from the Bengals because they start out 3-1. They're kind of a hot team in the NFL. Then they lose three straight, and then they come back and they do what they do against the New York Giants. So it's a bit of a crapshoot, but the fact is they're coming now into Kansas City as opposed to being at home and what they did against the Giants. So you know what? I keep going back to it. I don't think it has anything to do with who the Chiefs are playing, but rather what they decide their mindset is as they head into the game.
We saw it earlier. I'm going to close things out here, though, with the pressure that's on special teams. I'll have Terrence Copper again tonight on the Kingdom on the radio network, and we're going to talk about it. But you can call him Pac-Man, you can call him Frogger, you can call him, you know, Rules of Engagement. You can go down the line with whatever video game from whatever area that you want. But Adam Jones is still dangerous when he gets his hands on the football. I think of any time this year, maybe since Jacquizz Rodgers of Atlanta, you've got to deal with a returner that can take it to the house when he touches it.
Well, you do, but you've also got a punter in Dustin Colquitt, who's second in the league in terms of punts inside the 20, and first in the league with punts inside the 10. So you've got somebody who has a chance to neutralize him, and that has to happen this week because this is a guy that you do not want to give a chance. I talk about it all the time, but growing up, play not it. Pac-Man Jones was never it. This is a quick guy who can run fast.
Well, we all know about his issues off the field, but maybe Cincinnati's helping him out here. But here is to your point. They lose four straight games. Otherwise, they'd be right in the hunt in that division. Now they think they can get back in the division race, particularly with Roethlisberger out, so they see that maybe they can make a run at the Ravens. And then they just destroy the Giants. So can they do it on the road? Last time they were on the road, they lose. And here's where they are in the division. Still a chance for them, although the Ravens can't run away and hide from them. This is a big week for the Bengals.
Well, it is, and you look at that being 4-5. They know they have to win this game because, quite honestly, as they look at Baltimore playing Pittsburgh Steelers next week and knowing that Big Ben's out, you've got to believe that Baltimore is going to win that game. So they know that just to hold serve, they've got to win this week. But again, coming into the sea of red.
But the Chiefs 0-4. At home. It is Military Appreciation Day, one of the highlights of the season. The Chiefs need to get it done this week, man. They got to get it done. He's the snapper. He hasn't had much sleep. Love energy drinks to get us through this show, but be with us all week long on kcchiefs.com. We'll get you ready for Military Appreciation Day, Chiefs and Bengal. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. Hey, come join me tonight at the Kingdom if you're in the neighborhood with Terrence Copper. Thanks for joining us on Chiefs Live.